Today's daf is Vachin daf Samaches, and we will begin from the Mishnah on daf Samaches Amud Aleph, moving along in Perek Chatas Oif. So the topic of the last few dafin has been a korban that's not a zevach, but rather an oif. Chatas Oif, Oilas Oif, some of the differences between the hakrova of a Chatas Oif and an Oilas Oif. Now, one of the key characteristics of an oif is that although oifois chulin requires shechita, but oifois kachim required malika. So the first avoida that was done with an oif in the Beis HaMikdash was not shechita, rather it was malika. And there's a fundamental difference between shechita and malika, aside for the physical nature of it, and that is shechita, the Gemara says, lav avoidehi. And as a result, shechita ksheira bizarre, shechita was not considered an avoida, as opposed to malika. Malika is an avoida. So that malika was something that required kahuna, big day kahuna, all the laws of avoida applied to malika, just like they did to Kabbalah, Haylacha, and Tzrika. One of the chidushim of malika is that although ordinarily, in order to eat from an animal, you would need first to have a shechita, whether it's a behemoth or it's an oif, there would have to be shechita. Malika's kachim worked to be moitzi the oif midei nevela. So that once the Torah was mechadish, that in lieu of shechita, when it comes to kachim, you do malika, not only is that the seder avoida, but the malika is now going to be matter the oif lachila. So the kayhanim were able to eat from the chatas oif, even though we never had a shechita. It's a very big chiddush that the malika of the chatas oif was moitzi the chatas midei nevela, and as a result, it was mutter b'achila. Additionally, there was no tumas nevela. And the topic of the last daf into today's daf is what would be if the malika was done, but it was done in an oifen of psul. So it wasn't a kosher malika. So that's clear that as far as the avoida goes, it's not going to be a kosher avoida. So if somebody's bringing an oilas oif to the Beis HaMikdash, and now a psul did the malika, being that malika is an avoida, apostle that does malika, the malika is going to be apostle. But do you say that being that apostle did the malika, it's not a malika at all? As a result, we look at this oif now as if it's an avela, or do we not look at it as if it's an avela? L'may nafkimina, number one, if somebody would eat it, would he be over this in avela? Number two, tumas nevela, when it comes to an oif, has a very special oifen of tuma. It's called Tumas Beis Ablia. And the question is, would there be the Tumas Beis Ablia? That's just a fancy way of saying, would you have Tumas Nevela for an oif that whose Malika was done in a way that it wasn't supposed to be done or not? That was a shtickle, the topic of the last two dafin. That's very much the topic of today's daf. Says the Mishnah, Kala psulin shemolkum likasam psula. Any posel that does malika, the malika is going to be posel. And the reason is, like we said before, because malika is an avoida, a chiddush. Even though shechita lav avoidehi, and malika is in lieu of shechita, malika is an avoida. Stating that, if apostle would do the malika, the oif now would not be viewed as an avela as it relates to Tumas Beis Ablia. And again, that's a chiddush. Because you would think that if the malika is apostle, so what was moitzi it from nevela? So it should be metama b'beis ablia. Stating that, taloch is that even though kol apsulin shemokum likasam psula, still ain't metama b'beis ablia. Malak b'smoil, if the kohen did malika with his left hand, avoida has to be done with the right hand. Oy balayla, or he did malika at night, avoida has to be done during the day. Shachat chulin b'fnim, or if a kohen shechted an oif that was chulin in the Azara, or Kachim Bachotz, or he shechted, not Malika. He did Shechita with an Oif Kachim outside of the Azara. All of these cases, Einam Metamois Beveis Abli, even though the Shulchan Aruch wasn't followed. Apostle did the Malika as opposed to a Kasher. The Malika was done with the left hand as opposed to the right hand. It was done at night as opposed to during the day. Someone shechted Oif Chulin in the Azara. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to bring Chulin in the Azara. You're personally not supposed to shecht Oif Chulin in the Azara. Or somebody shechted an Oif Kachim Bachutz. That's two things wrong. Number one, Kachim Bachutz. Number two, it was Shechita as opposed to Malika. In all these cases, despite the fact that the wrong thing was done, So certainly you don't have an avoidic shera, but at the same time it's not going to be mitama tumas place. It says the Mishnah, there's another list of malikos psulos where the halacha is that it's such a bad malika that it will be tamei tumas place. What's that list? Malak besakin, if the malika was done besakin. So we had at the end of the sixth parak that malika had to be done, we all know this, with the fingernail of the kohen. It had to be done begufei shel kohen. So malak besakin or malak chulin b'fnim, so not shachat chulin b'fnim, but somebody took an oif chulin, brought it into that and he did Malika with it. Vikachem Bachos, or someone did Malika with an Oif Kachem Bachos. Again, the first part of the Mishnah was discussing Shachat Chulam Bifnim or Shachat Chulam Kachem Bachos. Here we're discussing Molak Chulam Bifnim or Molak Kachem Bachos. Torah Shleigia Zmanam, or if somebody did Malika with a Tar that was too young, a Tar had to be a certain age in order for it to be a Kasher Oif as a carbon, ubnei yoina sha'afar zmanam, or ubnei yoina that was too old, she'yof she'gapa, if one of the wings of the oif had dried out, she'nisma se'ino, or it became blind, she'nikta ragla's foot was cut off. All these cases, metame bebe sablia. What's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? The reisha is a list of cases where you didn't have a malika k'shera. The seifa is a list of cases where you didn't have a malika k'shera. In the reisha, we say that despite the fact that the malika wasn't kosher, still that halacha is, it's enough malika to say that the oif is not going to be tummy tumas nevela, it's not going to have tumas bebe sablia. In the seifa, we say that being that the malika is possible, not only don't you have a malika k'shera, but you don't even have oif that had Malika as it relates to Tumas Nevela, thus it will be Tomei Tumas Beis Avliya. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifas? And the Mishnah gives us a rule. Kol she psulei b'kodesh, eina mitamei b'beis avliya. The Reisha is discussing psulin that are quote-unquote psulei b'kodesh, and therefore they're not Tomei Tumas Beis Avliya. Lo yehaya psulei b'kodesh. The Seifas is discussing psulin that are not psulei b'kodesh. If they're not psulei b'kodesh, mitamei b'beis avliya. So what does psulei b'kodesh mean? So take a look at the last Rashi of the Mishnah. So says Rashi, the first group were all psulim that happened in the Azara. Being that they came to the Azara behechsher, and the psul all took place in the Azara, it's for that reason we say that it's not such a starka psul, and therefore the halacha is that even though the malika is possible, but it's not going to be tamei tumas beis avliya. The seifa is discussing psulim that happened not b'kodesh, before the oif came to the Azara, that psul is considered a bigger psul, and being that that psul is considered a bigger psul, it's for that reason, the halacha in those cases is that it's even going to be tamei tumas beis avliya. So two things. Number one, the Achronim speak out that when Rashi says the definition of psula b'kodesh and ain't psula b'kodesh is bala azara, loy bala azara, it's lav dafka. It doesn't mean bala azara or loy bala azara, meaning, just take one example. Sheyof shagapa. That's one of the examples that we have in the Sefer, where the wing dried out. The wing of the oif becoming a mum, although it could have happened outside of the Azara, it's not an Azara de Gipsul, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen outside the Azara, and that's pashut. If it would be Yof Shagapa in the Azara, it would still be considered a psul that's not psul b'kodesh. What the Mishnah means is a psul that would have to happen in the Azara versus a psul that doesn't necessarily have to happen in the Azara. So Malak Balayla, being that the Mokim of Malika is in the Azara, so that's considered a psul of psul b'kodesh. Malak Psulin is considered a psul that's psul b'kodesh. Why? Because where's that going to happen? It's naturally going to happen in the Azara. It's an Azara digesart psul, as opposed to Yof Shagapa and Nismas Eino, even though these are psulim that technically could happen in the Azara, but they're not necessarily unique to the Azara in that they can very easily have happened outside of the Azara. And being that they could have very easily happened outside of the Azara, they're looked at as Ein Psulei B'Kodesh. That's the first comment you have to make on the Mishnah. Second comment that you have to make on the Mishnah is that if you go through the list, it really doesn't work. Because there are examples in the Reisha that would seem to be Ein Psulei B'Kodesh, and there are examples of the Sefer that would seem to be Psulei B'Kodesh. Just to list one, Kachem Bachutz. That's Psulei B'Kodesh. That didn't happen in the Azara. Kachem Bachutz, by definition, happened outside of the Azara. If somebody shechts Oif Kachem Bachutz, the Mishnah says it's not Metama Dumas Beis Avliya. Why? Because it's Psulei B'Kodesh, because the Psul happened in the Azara. By definition, it's Kachem Bachutz. Chutz means outside of the Azara. So how does that work with the Klal of the Mishnah? An example in the Sefer would be Malak Besakin. Malak Besakin or Malak Chulam B'Fnim. Right? Clearly it happened in the Azara. So how could you tell me that Malak Besakin is named Psulei B'Kodesh? What's the difference if you were Malak Besmoil, Malak Belaila, that's considered Psulei B'Kodesh, or Malak Besakin, that would be considered
a psulei b'kodesh.
So there are exceptions, and the reason that in those cases the halacha is either metame tumas beis abli or ein metame tumas beis abli, respectively, is going to be discussed more in tomorrow's daf. But in terms of the havana of the Mishnah, and that's important in terms of pshat tava, it's the lumdus and the pshat all wrapped in one. So sometimes the lumdus is actually the pshat. So pasha pshat in the Mishnah. Who cares if it's psulei b'kodesh or ein psulei b'kodesh? So really, in order to understand that, we have to refamiliarize ourselves with halacha ivim olu lo yerdu. So one of the most kishmaka, if not the most kishmaka perek in Masech Tzvachim, is the ninth perek. It's perek Mizbech Mekadesh, Daf Pei Gimel. The truth is, from Daf Pei Gimel to the end of the Masechta, smooth sailing, Bezrat Hashem. It's Gishmak, hashtag rain, a lot of fun sugyas. But it starts really Daf Pei Gimel Amid Aleph. You have a few hurdles to get over between now and then. Bizin Kreich Daf Menochet Atrink, but that already will be self-evident. But from Daf Pei Gimel on odds, you have Perek Mizbech Mekadesh. What does Perek Mizbech Mekadesh discuss? It discusses a carbon that was pasul. A carbon whose emurim were not allowed to be brought on the Mizbech. A carbon whose dam wasn't allowed to be put on the Mizbech. So if you have a carbon that's pasul, for example, Nishbach dam, or the shechita was done balayla, there was something wrong with the carbon, so you're not makta demur. What happens if demurim ended up on the mizbeach anyways? So there's halacha of him alu lo yerdu. Once demurim go on the mizbeach, lo yerdu. Now there are exceptions to the rule. There are times where if something's possible, it's a malu yerdu. So some psulim are malu yerdu, some psulim are malu lo yerdu. One of the rules that are important in the sugi of Amalu Lo Yerdu is Kol She Psulei Bakoidesh Amalu Lo Yerdu. Kol She Ein Psulei Bakoidesh Amalu Yerdu. In other words, the psulim of Psulei Bakoidesh, even though they're pasul, but they're considered a lesser psul. You know why? Because Talach is Amalu Lo Yerdu. What's the lumdus? The lumdus is that it's true Nishchata Balayla or Nimluka Balayla, what we're discussing right now is a Malika Psula. But what would be right now if the Malika was done by Laila, and now the Kohen took the oif and he put it on the Mizbeach. The halacha would be in Malu Lo Yerdu. So as much as it's true the Malika was a Malika Psula, but on some level it's a Malika Kshera. V'horaya in Malu Lo Yerdu. And by the way, level 2, the Yisoid of Malu Lo Yerdu is not. It's not let it go on the Mizbeach. Once it touches the Mizbeach, alright, we'll leave it there. No. If it's not let it be on the Mizbeach, the halacha would be in Malu Yerdu. The Yisoid of Malu Lo Yerdu is, it's a Haktara. There's a haktara mechudeshes of Amalu Lo Yerdu. That's the first vart in Perek HaMizbech Mekadesh that the Brisker Rav was Medayik and Rashi. Amalu Lo Yerdu is a din haktara. That means even though the Malika was a Malika Psula, and you're right, once that Malika was done by Laila, for example, there's no way to go and fear us now, a kosher avoida, but there is a hakrava Psula. An akrav of a malu lo yerdu that could be done with this oila saif. When is that true? When it's psulei b'kodesh. Oh, but so when it's psulei b'kodesh, as much as the malika was possible, on some level, there is some tachlis of this malika. It's for that reason it's not going to be metamet, tumas beis abliya. Where it's ain't psulei b'kodesh. So there, it's not a malika at all. Because ain't psulei b'kodesh, it's a malu yerdu. So it's not a malika ksheira. It's also not a malika psula with regards to the law of a malu lo yerdu. As was the shkai malika. It's not a malika. There's no reason not to view this oif as a regular oif tameh, and that's why the halacha is it is going to be metame tumas beis abliya. But before we start the gemara, it's a short daf. So before we start the gemara, just one ha'ara. So one of the psulim that were mentioned in the Mishnah was malak besakin, and the truth is we already had this idea of malak besakin in the end of the sixth perek. The Gemara said that even though shchit is done with a sakin, and you would have thought that if shchit is done with a sakin, which is lav avoida, he's certainly malika, which is an avoida, should have a halach of sakin, but it was learned out from a pasuk that it's supposed to be done ba'atzmai shal koyin. So the way malika was done, it was done with the fingernail of the koyin. It was something that had to be done ba'atzmai shal koyin. I'll tell you something interesting. The Ramban, in the end of Parashas Yisroel, so he's discussing over there the pasuk in the Torah that says that the mizbeach avonim tasali lo sivne esem gozes ki charbecha heinafta oleh v'achichal oleh. It was very important that the mizbeach be made of avonim shlemos. It couldn't be made of stones that it ever come in contact with a cheref, that it ever come in contact with a knife or with a sword of some sorts. And the Ramban brings a pshat from Ibn Ezra and from the Rambam. And then he offers his own pshat. Why is this terrible kpeida that the mizbeach isn't allowed to come in contact with the sword? And he says that a cherev is miloshin churbin. And the mizbeach, of course, was a dover that was made in shalom. So says the Ramban that the mizbeach, the makam ha-mikdash, which is all about shalom, Yitochen, that it should come in contact with a sword, Miloshen Churban, that brings Churban Ba'olam, and it's very nice pshat. That's what the Ramban prefers in terms of all the different pshatim that he brings. Why it is that you have this hakpod of leisivne esem gazes ki charpecha hinafta alev atchalala. Then the Ramban says that the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, there was no barzel to be found whatsoever in the Makom HaMikdash. They never used barzel. Barzel in English translates as iron. There was no iron. There was no barzel used. You had kesef, you had zov, you had nechoshes, but barzel you didn't have. And he says, even though there were times where it would have actually made more sense to use barzel over some of the other materials that were used. Read you one excerpt from the Rabban and the Parashas Yisroel. Umepnei ze lo yhoye b'mishkan barzel, ki gam yisei doisov, the pegs that were used to keep the curtains down. Barzel. It would have made sense had they been made out of barzel. Instead, they made them out of nechoshes. Why did they make it out of nechoshes? Because even though the ikar iser, lovely sivna esem gazes, kichar b'chein nafta l'val chalel, was regarding the avonim of the mizbeach, but the chachamim, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Betzal, they took it a step further. They did not want barzel to come anywhere near the Makom HaMikdash. Says Raman, there was one exception. There was one piece of barzel in the entire Mishkan Beis HaMikdash. You know what that was? Bilvad HaSakinim, the knives that was used for Shechita. Says Ramban, but don't worry about that. Ki HaShechita Ein HaVoida. Because the Maisa Shechita is a Shechita Schoen anyways. I mean, the Shechita Lav HaVoidi. So it's interesting, the Yesedos of the Oil Moye, that couldn't be barzel. But the Sakin that was used for Shechita, Shechita Lav HaVoidi. I think it's poshut, back of the envelope arithmetic. That's why Malika couldn't be done with a Sakin. Because Malika is an HaVoida. So if Malika is an HaVoida, you're not letting her have a Sakin. That's the Shechita, which is Ein HaVoida. So says the Ramban, Milvad HaSakinim Ki HaShechita Ein HaVoida. It doesn't bother me that it's going to be used with barzel. Malika, which is an avoida, it couldn't have been used with barzel. But regardless, me'inyin le'inyin, shalei ba'oisa inyin. Digress a little bit as it relates to this. I'll tell you something fascinating. Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the Baal Aruch Lener, in his Binyan Tzion, it's in Simen Peches, was sent a shayla about a patent that a doctor in Paris had invented. And the question was posed to Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, is this patent something that us in the Heimische Kreisen can incorporate or not? What's the background? So we know that the mitzvah of Mila is made up of two parts. There's Mila and Priya. Mila is the Chatichas Arla, the Mayel Gams, and removes the Arla that every boy is born with. After the Arla is taken off, the Mayel then takes his fingernail and he removes a layer of skin that was beneath the Arla on top of the gid. He removes it, he like pushes it back almost like you would roll up a sleeve. It stays there and it ends up, you know, staying on the gid and eventually takes some sort of form as the child gets older. But, and they're two independent, distinct parts of the mitzvah Mila. Mila itself is the chatichas arla, that's the removal of the arla that gets completely removed from the gid. And then afterwards, to further expose the gid, so to speak, the mayel is gonna remove this layer of skin. He doesn't completely remove it, but he rolls it up. It stays on the gid, and the yisoid of it is that even though that layer of skin is not arla, because if it was arla, it would have to be removed, but he's furthering the gid, so to speak, from the arla and further exposing the gid to show that this child is not an arla. Priya is equally as important as mila. The Mishnah says in the end of Perek Rav Eliezer, the mila mavaloi parakiluloi ma. So there's you have to do the Mila, you have to do the Priya, they're both equally important. Now, the Minig Yisrael has been to do Priya with the fingernail. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Hilchas Mila, it's Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, where he discusses the Halacha of Mila, says the Rambam, Ketzad Mayal, in Choytchen es Kol Ha'or HaChoyfes HaAtara, you cut off the entire Or that covers the HaTara, Anche Tiskala Kol HaAtara, Va'achakach Poirin es HaKrum HaRach Shalamata Min Or, Bitsi Poirin. Afterwards, the Mayal takes his fingernail and he removes that krum harach, that membrane, that layer of skin. Umachzira lekan ulekan ad sheyira basa atara va'achakach moitzet samila sheyetz adam mekemis rechaykin k'tei shelav yodei asachar. So the Minhag Yisrael always was to do priya with a fingernail. There was this doctor in Paris that came up. He invented a tool, a utensil that would do priya. And the shayla was asked, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, is that okay? And is there a kpeda to do priya dafka with a tzipayrin, or could it be done with a keli also? And the thought was, is that we know what priya is trying to accomplish. You're trying to scale back that layer of skin. And this doctor had created something that was actually going to do a better job than the old-fashioned way of doing it with a fingernail, thus giving the shayla. So it's interesting, number one, the way Rav Yaakov Endlinger begins the shayla, he says, you know, recently there was a big tumult where people, they want to be mevatel the mitzvah of mitzitza b'peh. And he says, va'ato davar chadash, now they're taking it to the next level, they're up the ante. Not only do they want to be mishana the way mitzitza was done, but now I've heard about a doctor in Paris who wants to even change the way priya has been done. He wants to do priya with a keli, as opposed to doing priya with a tzipar. So he begins the shayla discussing, is there any halachic reason to dafka do it with a tzipar or not? So he says, the emes is based on the raw halacha, I don't have any makar. The Rambam says it, I don't have a makar. But two things that Ashenegel and Yenenu. Number one, he says, we know Minig Yisrael Torah. And the emes is so much of what we do is based on Teresh Shabbat Peh. It's based on a Messiah that we have dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, can you prove to me that when the Torah says, it means an estrig? So you're going to show me a Gemara, a Lulav HaGazel, you're going to narrow it down to certain types of fruits. But that it's an estrig, you won't be able to prove. Nor of us, we have a Messiah. The Messiah is that our father took Esraigim, the Zaydas, the Elta Zaydas, the Babas, everybody, presumably dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Messiah. Shalavicha v'yagetcha. And being that our Messiah is that we use an asterisk, so that's why today if somebody would take something other than an asterisk, goyarim boy, how could you take something other than an asterisk? So he says, mehai time, it's the same thing. He says, and the truth is, every single mitzvah has nuances of it that you can't necessarily prove in halacha. But it's based on Messiah, it's based on Teresh Shabbat Peh. So he says, it's poshut, if the Minig Yisrael, the Rambam brings it, Shulchan Aruch brings it, was to do priya with a tzipayrin. Mistamah, this is the way it was done, dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Emes says the mitzvah priya was given to Yeshua ben Nun, but dating back to Yeshua ben Nun. So the bottom line is that even though I can't prove it to you in halacha, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not the way it's supposed to do. No less that even though I can't prove to you that priya itself is an asterisk, that's what he said. It, we know is an asterisk. But he says, besides, I'm going to find you a makar. You want a makar? I found you a makar. And it's a Yalkit Shemoyne. Listen to this. In Tehillim. It's on the pasuk Kol Etz Moisei Termarno Hashem Micha Moicha. Omar David, David HaMelech said, Kol Etz Moisei Termarno. I shuckled, right? But more than that, B'chol Eivar, Ani Meshabech Echa B'chol Eivar Mekayim B'mitzvahs. David HaMelech turns to Hashem, he says, I use all my Eivar, every single Eivar that you created me with, I use for mitzvahs. B'roishi, Ani Roif Avay B'kayir B'tfilas, I shuckled with my top. B'sairis Roishi, with my hair, which mitzvahs he Mekayim, Loisakif U'pas Roishcha. Tfilin ani mariach, ani maniach b'roishi. B'tzavori, what do I do on my tzavor? I put on tzitzis. With my eyes, uri isim oisoi. B'fi, what do I do with my mouth? Tehilas Hashem yedab b'fi. B'svasai, says David HaMelech, what do? Tivana svasai tehilo. With my beard, leisashcha says paskoncha. B'lishoini u'lishoini teged tzidkecha. What do I do with my lave? B'libi tzofanti imrasecha. Tracht and learning. B'chaza, that's the tzitzis that I put on. Kineged alev. He says, my right hand, ani kosev bo marubat hami toira. My left hand, I put on tefillin. David HaMelech was a righty. Tzvarnaya, what do I do with my fingernails? Lasses ben priya, I do priya. Oi, malika sa'oif, and I do malika sa'oif. Oi, shneim yachad, or both. Ubayen listakular levana. I also look at my fingers when it comes to Abdullah. Meyai, I'm skipping a little bit. Teiroschas besoich meyai. Regel yamin, my right hand, chalitza. Regel smile, koidim l'sholish psias, achrat fila. When I go back, sholish psias, first my left and my right. Kriya, kraayim, what I do with my knees. Kriyas berkayim betfila. Hagid, mitzvahs milo priya. The gid is milo priya. Berkayim, my knees again. And he oises sandik, slik yulodim. I'm sandik, b'shas milo priya. Kach nemar, kol etzmoise temar nashem michamoich. Beautiful medrash. Says Rabbi Yaakov Endlinger, one of the things David HaMelech said was tzipayrin. I use my fingernails. Two mitzvahs. What do I do with my fingernails? Number one, I do malika. And number two, I do priya. Says Rabbi Yaakov Endlinger, when it comes to malika's ma'akid, dosa mishnah, malak besakid is possible. So malak besakid is possible. It's even matam tumas beis apliyah. So that is going to be possible. So if the fingernail is liikuva when it comes to malika, so doesn't it make sense that the fingernail should be liikuva as well when it comes to priya? So even though it's not a mafurish of makar maybe, but it's a ganz fine of makar. I have a yalkut shemayni that puts fingernails with regards to priya and malika, bichoda machta, and when it comes to malika, it is ma'akiv. That's our mishnah, malak pesachin is possible. So when it comes to priya, it should be ma'akiv as well. And then says Rabbi Yaakov, you're going to tell me, it's That's a medrash. This is your makar. So he says, I want to ask you something. He says, you know what the makar to Sandakai says? Everybody goes crazy about something. It's a mikveh. The Sandak Ramah says it's more chashiv. It comes from a Darkei Moshe. Ramah wrote a pirish on the Torah, Darkei Moshe. That's where it comes from. You know where the Darkei Moshe got it from? He got it from Agos Maimini. You know where that Agos Maimini got it from? He got it from this medrash right here. That Agos Maimini is in the end of the third parak in Hilchas Mila. It's at the very, very end of Hilchas Mila. I'll read it to you. It says that Agos Maimini had umesavin. Mashachimdim umesavin. People, they really want this. There's like a taiva. Lechoy zatino yik b'shas shenima lala berkayim v'liyaz bala bris b'zeh yesh smach l'dover b'medrash shoychetayv. The pasuk kol atzmoy say teimarno. Omar dover l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ani mishabeichecha b'chol ivorai u'mekayim ben mitzvahs ad barkay ani nasa santikus yilod b'shach milo. So says the Binyan Tzion, the whole Makar to Sandakos is this Medrash. So if you're going to Machavek with Priya, with the Tzipur, and Machavek with Sandakos, and everybody makes a tumult, this is Minig Yisrael, Torah, it's part and parcel of our Mesorah, of Yiddishkeit, that to be a Sandak at a brisk is a very big deal. People give it to Chshuvim and to parents, people they want. It's a tremendous covet. So the bottom line is that it's no less a Makar. So just like no one would be Mevatel Sandakos, how can you be Mevatel doing Priya with a Tzipur? Fascinating. I'll tell you something else interesting. That is that Tzvi Hersh Chayes, was asked a very, very similar shaila. Same shaila, doesn't mention the doctor in Paris, but a very similar shaila. Is it okay to do Priya with a Keli, or does it have to be done dafka with a Tzipayrin? And he has a similar tshuva, very similar tshuva. There's some nuances, ayin shom. If you want to take a look, I think it's Simon Samachin in Maratzchias. Shaila's tshuva is Maratzchias. But the bottom line is that Simon Samach. But one of the things he says at the end, he says, he digresses from Priya Bitzipayrin to Metzitza Bepeh. So I'll read it to you inside. Ubinyana Metzitza and Hugetzlenu Bepeh. Ubiyameinu recently himtziu haroifim eza samim ashamayol kamaya Metzitza. So he says, is that okay? Do you have to do Metzitza Bepeh? So it says, Metzitza Shchayes, Kvar hoirizokin, Hagoyin moifes adar, Ramoshe soifrazal, of Bezden Presburg. Also known as the Chassam Sofer. Kimoich Ro'isi Nitfas B'Shmoy B'Svarim Chadoshim Ki Ikra Metzitza Rak Mishum Sakon. The Chassam Sofer said that the real purpose of Metzitza is Mishum Sakona. Like the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Hay Umna Delei Mayetz Sakantum Avir Noisei. If a Moel doesn't want to do Metzitza Bepeh, you see it was a topic back then, even in the Gemara. So an Umin, a Reifi that doesn't want to do Metzitza Mavir Noisei, why in the Gemara says Kos Sakona? So he said, I've seen printed B'Shem Dechsam Sofer that Kol Sheyesh Lonu Derech Achara Shenifcham B'Nesoyen Ki Moel Lohosar HaSakona Kamoya Metzitza. It doesn't necessarily have to be done Dafka Bepeh. So Kiyadua, whether the Chassam Sofer really said this or not, it's very controversial. Ram Shik held that Chassam Sofer, but they ain't kamakoy melaharich, way above my pay grade. But the bottom line is this, says the Maran Tzchius at the end, v'chei ruchach, I have a raya, that Metzitza doesn't have to be done Dafka Bepeh. Mi divrei hayalkit, kapitol aminei. Because David HaMelech goes through all the Ivarim that he mitzvahs. And how many times was Mila mentioned in that medrash? He said, we do use the Tzipayrin to do the Priya, you have the Gid to do the Mila and the Priya, you have the Berkayim for the Sandakos. Why didn't David HaMelech mention that he does Metzitza Bepeh? When he mentioned Piv, he could have stayed on the topic of Mila, and he could have mentioned Metzitza Bepeh. He says, Vais Tois, it doesn't have to be Bepeh. The whole idea is just Lahasra HaSakana, and being that it's Lahasra HaSakana, it's not something that necessarily has to be done. And then he says something, we'll end with this, and that is that he mentions that, you know, there's a Mechabin Ramah, the last Sivkot in Shulchan Aruch, and the Hilchas Mila discusses a very interesting minhag. Once upon a time, there were two Moilim at a bris. And one Moil would do the Mila, another Moil would do the Priya. So they were mechabed one Moil with the Mila, another Moil with the Priya. The Beis Yosef says that you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. So a Mila, b'Shabbos, which of course is Daicha Shabbos, but you shouldn't have two Moilim on Shabbos. And the reason is because Mila involves Chil Shabbos. And as a result, you don't want to have a Moil do a chatzi mitzvah that's going to be Deicha Shabbos. So if you're going to do the entire mitzvah to be Deicha Shabbos that I hear, but to do a chatzi mitzvah, to do the chaticha sa'arlo, which clearly involves chil Shabbos, that's why Mila Shaloi Bezmane is not Deicha Shabbos. So to do a chaticha sa'arlo without being mekayim the mitzvah, because mo v'loi paras, gilu loi mo, we don't want that. So if you're going to do the chaticha sa'arlo, you have to do the priya as well. Because we want you to complete the mitzvah, because only if you're completing the mitzvah is a Deicha Shabbos. So even though there was this minig Yisrael that there were two milim, there was one mile that did the Mila, one mile that did the Priya, stating that, says the Beis Yosef, brought down Shulchan Aruch, the last of cotton in Hilchas Mila, not to do it on Shabbos. The Ramah argues. The Ramah says it's okay. You get one mile could do the Mila, one mile could do the Priya, even on Shabbos. And even though you're not finishing the mitzvahs, you don't have the Tchiyah, doesn't matter. As long as you're doing part of it, that's going to be okay. You know what the Ramah's Raya is? Kachnim. His Raya is because they used to do the Avodah
in the Beis HaMikdash. And a Kohen would get up and he would do the Shechita. Even though Shechita was only part of the Avodah, he had to do Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. Still, we know there was a Gairah, the way it always was, and the Kohen that did the Shechita was Lav Dafka, the one that was going to do the Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika. There's even a Tumul if a Zar was able to do the Shechita on Shabbos. But Rashi, right, we've spoken about. But the point is that you didn't need one Kohen to do the Shechita Kabbalah Ilachas Rika. Ay, how could I do the Shechita? It's only a Chatzi Avoida. The Teretz is, it's true, it's only a Chatzi Avoida. But we're assuming that you're going to fearize the Avoida. And being that it's part of an Avoida, Zeb said, it's something that's okay. So it's the same thing, says the Ramah. You're right, Chitucha Orla is not the entire Maisa Mila, but it's part of the Mila, and being that it's part of the Mila, Mila itself is Deicha Shabbos, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. The Maisa, so the Reb Tzvi Hashchaya says that, you know, the minik today is that people don't have 2 milim, they have 3 milim. It's fascinating. They have 1 mil would do the Mila, another mil would do the Priya, and then they would mechabit somebody to do the Mitzitza. And he says that he heard that in the Kehila of Brod on Shabbos, they follow the Bis Yosef, and they don't have not three, not two, they only have one. That they only have what? And he says he doesn't really understand because Lamaisa Halacha is like the Ramah. But then he said he heard that there are kehilas that on Shabbos they do two. And they knock out the one person that's going to do Mitzitza. So the Mechabit two as opposed to three. Brings what the Midik in Zonkeva was. That's where he was rough. But the bottom line is that he says that he heard that there are places with, that follow the Ramah. So yes, 2 milim, but not three. Not three. They take out the mitzitza, and he's mamish matmiya. He says, because mitzitza is the one you have the least concern about. Because mitzitza is all about sakana. And being that mitzitza is all about sakana, so sakana certainly, but sure, this is a question of pekuach nefesh. So he says, you want to tell me, you want to go mamish like the Beis Yosef? I hear. I mean, that's something I can't, you know, even though we pascha like the Ramah. And the Ramah said it's okay, but you want to take on a chumrah, you want to follow, even in an Ashkenazi shtetl, the minhag of the Beis Yosef. Okay, I hear. I'm not going to be goyer on that. But to go like the Ramah, to have two, but to say on Shabbos we're drawing the line, we're not going to have three, we're not going to allow someone to get up and do the mitzitza. That's a calling atzol on Shabbos. That's a question of sakana. Dovah mishum sakana. There's no question of Deicha Shabbos. Regardless, we have talked away in this Mishnah. Who would have thunk it? So you have a Mishnah that mentions Malak Besakin Pasul, which is discussing Halach of Malika. Bottom line is that from this Mishnah, the Aruch Laner felt there was a makar to this Kpeda to do Priya Dafka with a Tzipayrin. Either way, Zok de Gemara, Amar Rav, Rav said, Smol Velayla, Ein metamin bebeis habliya. So if the malika was done with the left hand, or if it was done at night, it's not metamin bebeis habliya. Zar v'sakin, and for zar or some other puzzle, did the malika, or if the malika was done with a sakin, so then it's so bad that it even has tumas nevela. It's metamin bebeis habliya. Says the Gemara. Ma'ishna smol the isleich sheder b'yom kippur. What's the reason that smol is not metamin bebeis habliya? It's because it's psulei b'kodesh, and like we spoke out, it's im olu lo yerdo. And being that the Malika works with regards to Alu Lo Yerdu, it's considered a Malika with regards to that it shouldn't be Metame Bebeis Abliya. Now, why is Smoil Im Alu Lo Yerdu? It's because we find in another place that you could do Avodah with your left hand. And once there's Islei Hechsher of Amakam Acher, that's enough of a reason to say that it's going to be Alu Lo Yerdu. What's the Makam Acher that smile is Islei Hechshera, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they used to use the left hand. The Torah on Yom Kippur involved both hands. Rashi says, not unless a machta be a minah, that's a kaf besmoila. So being that the Kohen Gadol had to use his left hand, it's for that reason that you find Islei Hechshera b'makom acher, and that's why it's a malu lo yerdu, that's why it's not metame beis ablia. Laila also, Islei, where do you find avoida b'laila? That's easy. Beivar muptarim. All haktara was done at night. Zor nami, freik the Gemara Islei But if that's the case, why did Rav say Zar v'sakin mitamim v'beis abliya? Which would suggest Imalu yerdu l'chayra Zar also has a chshera b'makam achar, which should make an Imalu lo yerdu. So as it relates to an oif, it should not be mitamim v'beis abliya. And where do you find Zar? You find Zar b'shchita. Zar could do shchita. True, he can't do Malika, but it's Islei Hechsher b'makom acher. Zok de Gemara, Shechita lav avoidei. That's not Islei Hechsher b'makom acher. Islei Hechsher means there's a place where you could do avoidei b'alayla. There's a place where there's an avoidei that was done b'smoil. The fact that a Zor could do Shechita doesn't mean you found an example where a Zor could do avoidei. To the contrary, Shechita lav avoidei. But the Gemara says, V'loi, is that true? And this is a repeat of Zvachim daf yudal ramad beis. Vam Rav Zeir said shchitas para bizar psula. This week's parasha that Zar was not allowed to do shchita of the para aduma. Machvi Rav Allah. The reason is Allah's of chukka because it says Allah's and it says chukka. So everything that it says in the beginning of parashas chukas is lakit. But the bottom line is if you see that a Zar can't do shchita with the para aduma, doesn't that suggest that shchita is an avoida? Otherwise, why would there be a kpeda for a Zar to do it? The Gemara says shani par the kachu bedek abayis. Are you bringing your raya from par? Para Adum is not Kachim Mizbech, even though it looked like Kachim Mizbech, it felt like Kachim Mizbech. Right? You shechted it, do a hazayis, but it wasn't done in the Makam HaMikdash, it was done in Harabayis. It was done on Harazesim, it was done in the Haramishcha. But it wasn't actually done in the Beis HaMikdash. Being that it wasn't done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not even Kachim Mizbech, it was never born in the Mizbech. It's Kachim Bedek Abayis. Kachim Bedek Abayis, a whole other story. But the Gemara says, like, Kolchkeinu? Kachim Bedek Abayis, Bayi Kuna, Kachim Mizbech, Mimbay. Madoch the Shechita that you find by Kachim Bedek Abayis, Allah is that it requires Koyen, then certainly Kachem Mizbeach should require Koyen, meaning certainly Kachem Mizbeach should be Avoida. So the Gemara says, you're right, but Amar Rav Sheish Breid Ravidi immediately have a Maris Nagon, Blav Avoidi Bayikuna. Meaning, just because something requires Koyen doesn't necessarily mean it's an Avoida. It's true. The Shechita of the Para Aduma requires Koyen. So from that standpoint, it would be logical to say that Shechita is an Avoida. And even though Shechita is Ksher Bizar, it doesn't mean it's not an Avoida. To the contrary, you have a Hechatimtzah where a Zar is allowed to do Avoida, which should make it a Malulo Yeridu, which should make it not be Metama Tuma Beis Avliya. But the Gemara says no. The reason Shechita is Ksher Bizar is because Shechita is really Lav Avoida. So there is no example of where a Zar is able to do Avoida. You can do Shechita, Shechita Lav Avoida. I have Shechita Lav Avoida. Why do you need a Koyin for Shechita as Par Aduma? So the Gemara says, Mida Dehavi Amaris Negad. Don't you need a koyin in Parashas Tazria Metzaira? You need a koyin for Tumas Negan? Just because you need a koyin doesn't by definition mean that it's an avoida. Bottom line is, shchita lav avoida. Shchita lav avoida. There's no example of where you find that a czar is able to do shchita. Therefore, it's an olu yerdu, and therefore, it's going to be metam etum beveis abli. But the Gemara says, v'nelof mibam. I still have an example where a czar is able to do an avoida. It's true, not shchita. But I have an example where a czar is able to do an avoida. On the bombus. So why don't we say that it's islay hechsher b'makam acher? So again, it shouldn't be metam beveis abli. So the Gemara says, mibam. If you can't learn from Bala, Rashi says the bama kechil hi lagabi mikdash. Nice lashon Rashi. Bama relative to mikdash is like chol. That's not considered islay echsher b'makom acher. But the Gemara says v'loy. Is that true? But time we learned to the brayse. V'nai liyotze shem alu yerdu. How do you know if part of the carpet became sul yotze? That loch is a malu yerdu. So the Gemara says shari yotze kashiv b'bama. And now you know that because yotze is cut. There's no psul yotze by a bama. Why not? There's no mechitzas by a bama. But the bottom line is that you see from there that the fact that something is islay hechsher b'bama is a reason to say and malu yerdu. Say the same thing regarding the zar. So the Gemara says tana azayis teiras oila samachle. The real reason then there's malu yerdu by psul yotze is not because it's kashiv b'bama. The real reason is because of a pasuk zayis teiras oila. The Derek Agav, the Gemara just mentions like a remez, but it's not the real Makar. Because you can't use Islay Hechsher Bebama as a real Makar. So what's the bottom line? Rav Shita is that if a Zor would do Malika, the Allah is it would be Tomei Tumas Beis Abliya. It's like an Ein Psulei Bakoidesh. And the reason is because the Allah would be if a Zor would do Malika, it would be an Olu Yerdu. Because you don't find anywhere that a Zor could do Avoida, it's less like Hechsher B'makam Acher. I have two examples where a Zor could do Avoida. A Zor could do Shechita, that's not Avoida. Shechita Lav Avoida. A Zor could do Avoida on a Bama. Yeah, Bama, Klapi Mikdash, that's like Chulin. That's like saying a Zor could Shecht Chulin. That's not considered Islay Hechsher B'makam Acher. Therefore, the halach is it's going to be Tomei Tumas Beis Abliya. Rabbi Yechon Onam, Rabbi Yechon argued with Rav. Zor in Metama Beis Abliya. It's only Sakin that's Metama Beis Abliya. Rabbi Yechon argued, he said that a Zor is not Metama Beis Abliya. In essence, we have a machloik is Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, whether a Zor that does Malika is a Metam Beis Abliya, is a Metam, not Metam Beis Abliya. Great to Gemara, Tana, we learned in our Mishnah. What was the first line of the Mishnah? Kol hapsulin shemolku, Malika asam psula. Bishlem of the Rabbi Yechanan. The Bishlem according to Rabbi Yechanan, kol asuyeh Zor. I understand why it says God. It's even coming to be Marba Zor. El Rav kol asuyeh Mai. What's it coming to be Marba? So the Gemara says, lasuyeh smo v'layla. Meaning, what did the Rashi of the Mishnah say? Kol hapsulin shemolku, Malika asam psula, and it's not So isn't it a Mefurish Mishnah? Now it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't ask from the fact that it's a Mefurish Mishnah. I mean, really, it's a Mefurish Mishnah. Kol Apsulin, what does Kol Apsulin mean?
means all the psulim. Usually it's a reference to the first mission of the second parak that talks about the oinein and the yoshev and the zar and the whole list of psulim that are not allowed to do avodas. They can't do Kabbalah Lachazrika, they could do Shchita, and now the Mishnah is saying they can't do Malika, and not only can't they do Malika, but it's not going to be Tamei V'Beis Avodah. But it seems to be a Mefurish Mishnah. Kala Psulin Shemokum Likasam Psula, Ve'enem Tamei V'Beis Avodah. And you would think that's the Gemara's Kasha, but it's not the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara is asking for the word Kol. Kol is Lasuye. Isn't it coming Lasuye Zar? So the Kerenayer asks the Kasha. Why didn't the Gemara just ask from the Mishnah? And the Kerenayer says, because the Mishnah itself, you can think, is maybe referring to a Tamei. A tummy that does the avoda, for sure the halach is going to be a malulah yerdu, and for sure the halach is going to be that it's not metame b'beis abliya. And the reason is because a tummy is islay achsher b'makam achah, tuma hutra b'tzibor, tuma tchuya b'tzibor. So without the word koil, had it just said psulin, I would have thought that it's referring to tmeya. But being that it says kol, and kol is la'asuye, so certainly it's coming to be marred by all the other psulin, such as the zar and the oinein, etc. So it's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a kasha to Rav. Again, bishlam the Rabbi Yochanan kol la'asuye zar, el Rav kol la'asuye mai. So the Gemara says la'asuye small v'laylo. You know it's coming to be marred, but not people that are physically puzzle. But if it was done in a way of psul, it was done with the left hand, the linkant, or it was done at night. But the Gemara says small v'laylo behedik tani. That's mentioned beforeish in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says tani v'hadam v'farish. It's true, the Mishnah first said it as a remez, kol, l'rames, laila, and smile, and then we explained what we were merames for previously. We mentioned explicitly smol v'laila. The Gemara says toshma here. So you have no raya from the Mishnah, but I think the beginning of the Mishnah, but I think you have a raya from the end of the Mishnah. Say a kol. Kol shayyib psulim b'kodesh eni metame b'golam b'beis abliya. Right? The rule of the end of the Mishnah was that anything that's psulim b'kodesh is not metame b'beis abliya. Bishlam the Rabbi Yechanan. Again, it says kol. Say a klal is always coming to be mar b'something. Lasu yezar. It's coming to be mar b'zar. That azar, who you would have thought maybe is not psulei b'kodesh, it's considered psulei b'kodesh, and it's not metama begodim abeis avliya. Elo lirav la'asuye mai. So the Gemara says, ulitameich, according to you, what are you going to be marber from the sefer? Just like there was a zeh klal and a kol in the resha, you had a zeh klal in the sefer as well. It said, shaloi hoyo psulei b'kodesh. That loch is, it's metama beveis abliya. What's that coming to be marba? Ela reisha las, must be reisha lasuye shchitas kachim bifnim. It's coming lasuye if you would shech an oif kachim bifnim. So as opposed to doing malika, you would shech it. Sefer lasuye malika schulim b'chutz. It's coming to be marba malika schulim b'chutz. In the reisha, it's not metama beveis abliya. And the sefer is metama beveis abliya. So that those two things sound similar to what the Mishnah discussed, but it's not what the Mishnah discussed. The Mishnah discussed shachat chulim b'fnim, shachat kachim b'chutz, molak chulim b'fnim, and molak kachim b'chutz. Here we're discussing shchitas kachim b'fnim and malikas chulim b'chutz. The bottom line is shchitas kachim b'fnim. The halacha is it's psulei b'kodesh. The halacha is it's not metame b'veis abliya. Malikas chulim b'chutz is ain't psulei b'kodesh. And therefore, it is metama beveis abliya. Tanya kavasei to Rabbi Yochanan, or to Rabbi Yochanan, that a zar that does the malika, it is not metama beveis abliya. Molka zar, if a zar did the malika, molka pasul, or any pasul for that matter did the malika, hapiko vanoisev atome, ein metama beveis abliya. It's a mefurish aray. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Shomati Shtayim. I heard two things. Achas kmitza zar, achas malika zar. One regarding kmitza zar, and the other one regarding malika zar. Achas terit, by one of them the loch is terit, achas loy terit. And by the other one the loch is loy terit. Lo yadan, and I'm not sure which one is terit and which one is loy terit. I'm a chizkiyas. A chizkiyas said, mistabra, it's mistabra that kmitza terit, malika loy terit. That by kmitza the loch is going to be terit, but by malika the loch is going to be loy terit. Says the Gemara, why? Maishna malika the yeshna babama. Why do you think that kmitza should be, why do you think that malika should be loy terit? Because it's isla hechsher b'makam achar. And in Olu Yeridu is related to Islay Hechshera b'Makam Achar. What's this Makam Achar where it's Islay Hechshera? Yeshna b'Bama. You could do Malika on a Bama. Kmitza Nami Yeshna b'Bama. You could do Kmitza on a Bama. Just like you could bring an Oif on a Bama, you could bring a Mincha on a Bama as well. So Kmitza has the same Yeshna b'Bama that Malika has. V'chitem, you're going to tell me Ein Mincha b'Bama. And if you're going to tell me that there aren't this, Tana holds there's no mincha bebamis, then for the same price in oifes nami bebama, you have to hold there's no oifes bebama. Amar Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes already said the divrei yomi yesh mincha bebama yesh oifes bebama. El the divrei yomi ein mincha ein oifes. The two are totally zebezeh. If there's mincha bebama, there's oifes bebama, and if there's no mincha, there's no oifes. My time kuzvachim v'loy menachis. It says in the Torah, when the Torah talks about bringing korbanos on a bama, vayizbechu zvachim shlomim lashem par. It says the word zvachim. So either you darshin zvachim, then it's loy oifes and loy menachis, or you don't darshin zvachim, and then you have oifes and you have menachis. But luchura, you can't have it both ways. So manashach, how could you distinguish and differentiate between a mincha and between a knife? Ella ema ain't kiddush beklisharis b'mincha b'bam. Malika is the same whether the malika is done on a bama or the malika is done on a mizbeach. It's a knife that was kachin. You do the malika with your fingernail. In one case, you're doing it, you're being makrivin on a mizbeach. In the other case, you're being makrivin on a bama. But the mincha is fundamentally different if you do the mincha in the makam hamikdash or if you do it on a bama. If you do it in the makam hamikdash, you had to have a klisharis. The kmitz is being done from a klisharis. If you do it on the mizbeach or on a bama, there's no klisharis involved. Being that there's no klisharis involved, therefore, you don't necessarily need a kohen. It's a different type of malika. For that type of malika, it's going to be okay. But if that type of kmitza is going to be okay. So this malika of a bama and the malika of the mizbeach are the same malika. Thus, we view it as isleyach sheirah b'magamach. As opposed to the kmitza of a bama and the kmitza of the mizbeach are not the same kmitzas. Being that they're not the same kmitzas, one is from a klisharis, one is not from a klisharis. It's for that reason we don't look at it as isleyach sheirah. The Makam Acher, we will stop here.